everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's December 2020, and you're listening to episode 216, which is a conversation about virtue signaling. On this episode, I'm joined by Anne Kennedy, who has an MDiv and is the author of the recently revised devotional, Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. Anne blogs about current events and theological trends at Preventing Grace on Pathios.com. Anne has written an online exclusive feature article, and it is called Why Do I Call Myself Good? A Look at Virtue Signaling, and you can read her article for free online at our website, equip.org. Anne, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned, Anne has written an exclusive online article for us on virtue signaling, which is kind of a term that's become just more in the cultural zeitgeist, I guess, in the last several years. And it's somewhat related to her article that she did for us on cancel culture. So I would also point you to our conversation about cancel culture as well as her article. But not everybody knows how some of these buzzwords are being used right now in terms of specifically, I think, on social media, how we present ourselves on social media and how we interact on a number of issues. I know probably no matter what side you fall on, most people have realized that we can't really convince anybody of a different position on social media. But in the meantime, we do like to talk about the different things that we do that we think are good things that we do for our community or for the world or to make the world a better place kind of thing. So why don't you explain to us exactly what is virtue signaling?
Virtue signaling came into regular conversation, I think, sometime in 2015. Somebody was casting around for a way of saying, talking about letting somebody know that you have the correct view of something or that you're a moral person without actually having to do anything moral or good. And so the Cambridge Dictionary, which I thought was an interesting one, says virtue signaling is the habit of indicating that one has virtue merely by expressing disgust or favor for certain political ideas or cultural happenings. And I think it came into being because somebody was upset about the way that people had to let other people know that they shopped at Whole Foods or Whole Foods, I mean. And from there, it really took off because it's a perfect description for what all of us do on Facebook and Twitter, including the hashtag option of letting, you know, letting people know that you have the right ideas. Where I noticed it first was, or what people were really using it was when the girls were kidnapped in Nigeria. And the hashtag went around on Twitter, hashtag bring back our girls. And lots of people did that hashtag. And then we all moved on from that event. And the Nigerian girls dropped out of, you know, the news. And I guess some of them were eventually recovered. But basically, that was a sort of way of salving the collective conscience, I think, of the West. And then it was over. Now, I think it's even, well, then there was the bucket challenge, you know, where you poured water over yourself, and that was supposed to raise awareness for some kind of disease. I can't remember which one. And then I think it's sort of morphed that it can also be the things that you are doing, but the main factor, the main quality of virtue signaling is that you have to let other people know about it. So the letting all your good works be done in secret, that is very much off the table for our culture and our way of thinking about who is good and who is bad.
Well, last year in the New York Times, there was an op-ed by these two psychologists talking about virtue signaling, and they noted that, you know, sometimes there's like fake righteousness, you know, you're just trying to be kind of current by making a comment about, you know, everything from, I think, the Me Too movement, so like sexual assault or police brutality or something like that. But they're saying there is genuine outrage. Do you think that there's such a thing as, when you think about virtue signaling and we see it on social media, can there be true expressions of moral outrage about something, or are they always falling into kind of this, well, I want people to know that I am somebody who's ethical, or I feel concerned about these issues, so I do want to make some statements about that so people can identify me as caring about whatever issue you want to insert?
Well, I think as I said in my piece, the bedrock of human community is that you have to let other people know whether or not you're good or bad. It's public discourse includes people saying what they believe about certain things and letting other people know that they're good in one way or another. If we had no way of knowing who was on one side of something or who was on the other side, we wouldn't know how to have, we could, that's how we have human relationships with each other. So you can't take out the question of letting other people know whether or not you're virtuous. That's a very basic human activity. And I do think, you know, as debates have gone on online, I think it's a very interesting thing to do, to let other people know what you think, and to, you know, I don't, like, it's not wicked to raise awareness about things that come along in the news, Me Too being one of them. But it has taken on a sort of a certain kind of quality, that the idea of letting other people know about your relative goodness or not goodness has taken on a new character, a new feeling, I think, in the last few years. In fact, I was watching a YouTube channel that I enjoy a lot, and they were talking, they were bemoaning of the fact that you can't just get online and talk about your ideas about things. You have to let other people know the full measure of your support or abhorrence of something, because otherwise the conversation can't even go on. So there's no emotional or critical distance that you can have between yourself and your own opinions anymore. You have to let people know your goodness and your stand, and then you can have the conversation, which of course makes things very, very tribal right now and very divisive.
So you mentioned when you first started talking that it kind of came into, like, I would say, Western cultural consciousness in 2015, but actually, where did virtue signaling come from?
Well, virtue signaling is a really ancient idea. I would say it comes all the way from the Bible, where the psalmist often says, you know, oh God, I'm one of the good ones. Look at me, and judge my enemies, because I'm good and they're not good. The need to be good before God and before other people is the thing that happened at the fall. That's a very, very ancient need that humans have to be seen to be good. And it carried through human history. But when Christianity came into the world, we began to have the idea that you aren't maybe good, and letting other people know whether or not you're good is a dubious idea. You know, maybe we could question that. And of course, also in Judaism, which was a really new idea for the world. Letting other people know that you're good and not bad is the way the humans organize their society. So we've had, 2,000 years of this idea that it's not actually good to let other people know how good you are. And we're jettisoning that in a sort of a post-Christian world, where actually it's very, very important to let other people know your goodness or badness. And it's just become virulent on the internet, especially. It's an unquestioned proposition that we have as a culture, that you'll just virtue signal. That's just what we do.
So if that's true, that we do this, why do we have it? I mean, why do we feel this need? I mean, of course, you know, we can talk about, as sinners, we have this need, like you were saying, we have this need to be good before God, but why do we have the need to let other people know about it? And it's interesting because if we go back, and our conversation won't be about moral philosophy, that's probably for another time, but you know, in the past, virtues were other types of things. Then we see how we communicate the virtues that we have in contemporary culture. And before, it was more inner qualities of, you know, courage and truthfulness and all these kinds of things, that that's not necessarily how it's communicated now. There's a sense of, and even the New York Times article talked about this, the op-ed piece, that to have this moral outrage. So it's not the same way in which moral philosophers in the past called virtue in terms of moral outrage, but that's kind of how we do it on social media now. And so why do you think that is?
Well, I do think that, you know, as the virtues of Christianity have sort of died away, which are very counter to the inclinations of the person. So, you know, humility is a very alien kind of idea. Human beings aren't humble unless God helps them. There's nothing interior in the human person without the aid of God that thinks, you know, wakes up in the morning and thinks, you know what, I'm going to die to myself and give God all the glory. So the Christian virtues run contrary to the human nature and human spirit. And as the new gospel of the self has emerged, I think what virtue even is has shifted. This is why Christians, I think, feel so uncomfortable when we talk about virtue signaling. You know, virtue signaling is a very old thing to do. It's not that we're signaling virtue that's different. It's that the virtue that we're signaling is very different. So our ideas about what is good and what is bad have changed. And so it's not good in this culture to give glory to God. It's not good to be self-effacing. Glennon Doyle talks about how it's actually bad to die to yourself. The humility is almost a wicked proposition. And so you must let other people know who you are, what you feel is important about certain issues. Your rage now becomes a moral quality rather than something, you know, to be embarrassed about or to try to get rid of. You've got to let other people know who you are. And so in my piece, I talked about, I say this with some embarrassment that I shouldn't really know who this person is, but it kind of clicked into place for me because Eddie Izzard, as a kind of a humorous thing, is starting a project called Make Humanity Great Again. So obviously he's poking fun at the president and the, you know, the slogan on the right. But that's where the humor stopped for him. The very project of making humanity great again included him letting other people know what he himself is doing to make humanity great again, which isn't really helping anyone else. The things he's doing, he's running marathons, he's doing stand-up, and he's come out as trans. And so those things are his virtue. Those are not Christian virtues. You know, no one even 100 years ago would have counted those things as anything that you were actually doing to make humanity great again. They're just things that you're doing. So it's just a really big shift. And I think that I, as a Christian, you know, have felt uneasy, but haven't really known why I have thought that virtue signaling was bad or what was wrong with it. I couldn't put my finger on it. And I think it's because virtue has changed.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Anne Kennedy, who has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal. And her article is called, Why Do I Call Myself Good? A Look at Virtue Signaling. And you can read her article for free online at our website, equip.org. And we just want to say from everyone here at the Christian Research Journal and the Postmodern Realities Podcast that we are so thankful for your partnership, either by subscribing to the journal at equip.org or leaving us a review or rating at your favorite place where you get your podcast, including Apple Podcasts, and for helping us out by giving us a tip, which you can do at equip.org. We want to wish you and yours a very happy new year. You were just talking about how virtue itself has changed. So I want to ask you if you think it's useful for human society, because as I mentioned earlier, when you had classical philosophy and you talked about moral virtues, they were things that were good for, you know, society. It's good to be someone who pursues truth. It's good to be someone who is courageous. But now, like you said, it has this even anger, and the Bible speaks very clearly about anger. I mean, in James 1:20, it says anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires, or that actually ESV says that God requires. And so rage has never been venting has never been a virtue that's biblical. And now, like you said, rage has this moral quality. So is this virtue signaling something that's helpful for our culture?
I would say that, you know, no, it's not. And if you go online and look to see, you know, there's always a happiness index coming out. You know, people are always trying to measure their own happiness. Look to see how people who are busy signaling their own virtue, how happy they are. I mean, take the measure of today, which is personal happiness, personal satisfaction. And you can see that the thing that is not working, even by our own standards. Rage isn't healthy. It isn't productive. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't change the world, except in very bad ways. And I would say, because that's the primary marker, that the sort of aggrieved outrage that each of us are invited daily on social media to feel and express, we're just getting more and more unhappy as we go along. It's not a good way for human society to organize itself. And I think in that way, it provides, you know, one thing that I tend to be kind of pessimistic person. I think I'm not like an upbeat person that just loves life and is a go-getter. But I find that I think that I'm on average more cheerful than most people on the internet. I just, you know, I think that a lot of things are funny. I'm able to enjoy life. I have more important things to worry about than whether or not I'm outraged correctly at the right moment. And I think that Christians, this may be the one thing that marks Christians out as very different from the world, is just this sort of freedom from anger. If we can sort of embrace that, there's various verses in the Bible say that leave rage alone. It's like you can just actually put it down and walk away from it. And I think Christians, you know, can do that because we have Jesus. It's a very bad, it's bad for people's health, virtue signaling. It's bad for their minds and hearts. It fractures community rather than pulling people together. It's tribalizing. I mean, there are just so many bad things that come out of letting other people know how good you are.
You know, I want to lean in to ask you a little bit more about how it can harm communities or harm our culture or, you know, just our society, our neighborhoods and so forth, because you talked about, you know, personal happiness index, but how does rage and virtue signaling in very public ways harm culture? Because you said that it can fracture things. And I think, you know, it's bad for your health personally, but how does that kind of collectively make an impact? I mean, I guess we can see it on social media, but sometimes, you know, you're not even sure, are people reading your posts? I mean, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, even if you feel obligated to feel outrage about a particular topic, whatever it may be, or a particular news item. But how does it actually fracture culture?
Well, one interesting thing I think has happened just during COVID is that this has certainly happened in the church, but it's also happening outside of the church, is, for instance, the debate over masks and whether or not COVID is even a thing. I think if people in the church were sort of deeply rooted in the Christian virtues of humility and temperance and love and charity, the mask debate would not have even existed. But the degree to which we've bought into the idea that virtue signaling is a bedrock value of society, that's the degree to which the church is kind of fracturing over this particular issue. So, you know, I get online and I see people basically castigating the other side. Like, if you wear a mask, you have delivered your soul to Satan. And on the other side, if you don't wear a mask, you have delivered your soul to Satan. You know, you are not exercising the love of Christ. Part of the issue with the mask is that people need to get online and tell other people what is the correct view. And not only do they need to have the correct view themselves, they need to let other people know that they have the correct view and then tell those other people to have the correct view. And so there can't be a charitable disagreement about something that's really very essential. I mean, it's very visceral. Putting a mask on is a physical, visceral kind of thing to do. It evokes a lot of feelings negatively. You know, I have not met a single soul who enjoys wearing a mask, for instance. But, you know, people get through it in one way or another. It's been very, very divisive for the culture and the church because it's taken on a moral quality and a virtue quality, but the virtue itself is something you have to let other people know about. It's really interesting, and I think it's very terrible because people are really, really locked into combat with each other. I've actually known that churches that have started to sort of come unglued, that they're fracturing, that people are leaving and just not coming back one way or the other if you're not wearing them or if you are. And the biblical model of striving for unity, of putting other people in front of yourself, of being willing to die for the sake of others, of being willing to endure suffering that was maybe unfair or unreasonable just for the sake of other people, all of those things have kind of gotten lost in the moral question of whether or not you should wear a mask. And I think that that is a microcosm of how it's going in the culture overall. And extrapolate that to Me Too and race issues and whether or not you like the police and who you voted for in this election. And you can see that our deep divisions, I mean, of course, we have deep ideological divisions from each other, but the presenting or the way that we're experiencing that is because of, I would say, because of virtue signaling, that we have to let other people know that constitutes the virtue itself. So if you leave that out, you don't have anything at all. People don't know how to relate to each other. You don't know how to cope. And so this, it feels to me a little bit like, the Great Divorce, where people are going farther and farther from each other into hell, busily explaining how good they are and what they deserve and what their rights are. I think that image is a great image for where we are culturally around the question of virtue and morality.
I think that's a good example. I think it's been so many years since I read that book. I think it was in middle school or something, but I remember it also being raining and there were leaks in the roof and as people were moving away from each other and just complaining. And I just feel like that's kind of a visual picture of maybe what's happening culturally. And I totally agree with you. It seems that this has also affected the Christian church. And what's interesting about it is we start focusing on those things that, I mean, I don't want to say that masks don't matter and all the things that we need to do for COVID, but we kind of forget the larger mission of the church to reach people for Christ with the good news of the gospel because we're having these disagreements or rage over wearing masks. And, you know, I have just witnessed this on social media, just in my small circles among moms who disagree with, you know, well, if everyone would wear their masks, then we wouldn't have been quarantined because we were exposed to some kid who, you know, and then somebody else would say, well, we did wear our masks and you can just easily get COVID. And, you know, just kind of some of that. And I agree with you about Jesus having prayed for unity in the church. It seems like right now there's so many different as you called it earlier, tribes. So how has social media changed how we think about virtue, not just as a culture, but maybe how Christians have thought about and expressed Christian virtue?
I think that, well, social media, you know, invited the predispositions of the human heart to become fully enacted. Social media, it taps into the deep, sinful part of the human being that wants to be good and wants God to recognize human goodness, and that wants other people to do that, and is also very blind. You know, the human spirit is, the human heart is one that is described in scripture as being blind and deaf. And so social media, you know, with the dopamine hit that you get every time you click on, it enlarges that side of the human person. That has come into sort of flourishing. And Christians are on social media. So it just, there's no way to avoid it. If you are a Christian and you want to have relationships with other Christians, I mean, our church, for example, really depends on Facebook. Like, we're live streaming our Facebook services right now. We have Facebook groups, we have Messenger. If you're not on Facebook as a Christian, in some sense, you're kind of isolated on your own. So if you want to engage with the world, you have to use social media. That's a big question that probably needs to continue to be worked out by Christians. But insofar, I think, as Christians have used social media, I think we have unwittingly and thoughtlessly adopted certain ideas of virtue from the world without questioning them enough. And that's that if you have the correct opinion about something, you are therefore a good person. And that's a band-aid that we can put on ourselves. You know, it's possible to have all the correct opinions about something and still be wicked and very far away from God's grace. It's possible to have all the wrong opinions about something and still be serving Christ obediently and being, you know, following him and loving him and loving other people. So your correct opinions about issues of the day are not the measure of your Christianity. And yet I think for many Christians, they have conflated the virtue signal with actual virtue. And I think that's hugely problematic. It's bifurcating, you know, it's this ever and never ending fracturing that Christian communities are enduring with each other.
You mentioned that virtue signaling has really been around since, you know, the fall, since the very beginning. And so it's not something new that we're experiencing since 2015, you know, on the internet. But what is different about it now than it had been in the past in terms of to let others know about virtuous ideas that you have or virtuous acts that you've done?
Well, I think one thing that's happened maybe even this year is that it's become the only thing that many people have. You know, we're locked inside. We don't know how to, we, you know, a lot of us are in real isolation. We don't know how to, I mean, we can't see people in face to face. We may not be able to do practical works of service or good, you know, good deeds for other people in a physical way. And all we're left with is the internet. So I think during COVID, virtue signaling has, you know, come to be all that there is for many people, which is a great tragedy. But also, I think people really have bought in a very recent way in this year to the idea that if you let other people know how good you are, that really does make you good. I don't know that people really believed that deeply, and I think that many really do now. So it's really, really wicked for other people to be wrong. They have to be corrected. And I've seen, like, this brings in the question of politeness. There's an increasing idea that if politeness to other people or just letting them go free and not telling them that they're wrong or what kind of opinion they should have, that is counts as silence, and silence is wicked. So you have to let other people know that they're wrong and encourage them to, you know, repent and believe your own version of the gospel. If you don't do that, you're complicit in all the wickedness of the world. And so there's a new kind of fear, I think, I'm seeing on the internet. Like, if I don't say something about this, I'm going to be in big trouble with God and all of humanity. And so I better get on and say whatever it is that we're all supposed to say today, whatever opinion we're supposed to have. If I don't, I could be canceled. Or I think really people do believe, like, I might not be a good person if I don't say this particular thing, whatever it might be. I really think that's new. I think people have had more emotional distance from the question of their own virtue in the past 10 years, and that's gone away now and been replaced by a sort of a needy, grasping fear of being wrong.
So how does this apply to Christians, really? I mean, should we avoid virtue signaling? Is it not helpful for us if we do feel passionate about a certain issue? It could be something well known, like, you know, the Me Too movement, in terms of, yeah, this happened to somebody I know, or this is very real, and it's real in the church that women, you know, have been assaulted and so forth. And so is it wrong to talk about those things, or how do we signal our virtue? Because I think you're right. There is a sense of fear on the internet in terms of, well, maybe people won't realize I feel very strongly about this issue unless I tell them, because that's how we can tell friends and strangers or colleagues or whatever how we feel about something. That I don't know that we had those kind of avenues in the past. Like, we have colleagues, but I don't know that in the past I talked to them about their political views or their views on specific hot button issues, unless it related to, you know, Christian apologetics, and we're going to, you know, publish an article about it. But I don't know that I had an in-depth conversation to ask them, well, what do you think about X, to find out if they held a particular view. So is there a way that Christians should signal their virtue, or should we really, you know, move away from the internet and not talk about some of these things for our own, you know, getting a better idea biblically of who we are as people?
Well, I think, I mean, okay, as a social media user, I'm not really advocating that Christians get out of the public square. But I do think that there's some maybe psychological or theological or, you know, emotional tricks that you could use to help yourself as you engage with other people about important issues of the day. And that's, first of all, you could, I think Christians should at least tell themselves, even if they are not able to practice it, they should at least preach against virtue signaling. So I think Christians should say to themselves, it is not important for me to be seen to be good anywhere. Like, that's not a value that God has for me. He's not trying to establish my righteousness for all of my fellow creatures. And so it's okay for me to be wrong about something. It's okay for me to be to not speak in a timely manner according to the timetable of other people. It's okay for me to be shamed online. Like, I won't die if I suffer some kinds of humiliation on the internet, if I speak out and it's the wrong thing, or I don't speak out and somebody tries to, you know, shame me for that. I think Christians just need to tell themselves over and over again, my virtue isn't the big question here. Me being right or me being known even or seen, those are not important things for God. God sees me, and so it doesn't matter if anybody else does. So I think Christians really need to tell themselves that their virtue doesn't matter. Like, God will worry about that. You just keep your eyes on him, and he'll worry about what other people perceive you, you know, what your opinions are or whatever. And then I think as part of that, Christians really need to get rid of the idea that part of the virtue is the signal. I mean, that's true that your virtue is seen by other people, and you know, you don't want to be out there lying or, you know, throwing your reputation into the dirt. You don't need to do that, but you also don't need to think about it so much. Or because it's often unconscious, try to bring it up to your own consciousness and then give it to Jesus and ask him to take it take it away. I think there should be more, there could be more self-reflexive kind of prayer as you engage in online debates. Because I do think the Christian, one of the biggest things that Christians should be worried about is leaving rage alone. Acting and speaking not out of anger, but out of love. And then also being happy. Well, the Christian word is joyful. You know, the Christian life is perilous and difficult, and we're all going to die. None of us are going to get out of here alive. We can come through it with a lightness, a less anxiety, because we don't really have anything to lose. And I think that if Christians were to embrace humor as a way of changing people's minds rather than beating them over the head with, you know, all the proper opinions of the day, I think more people who are exhausted by the demands of the modern virtue, I think that'll be a really pleasing aroma to the Lord. People will see that and think, oh, I wish I could be with them. They're happier and they're not so angry about everything. Maybe I don't have to have an opinion about this today. Maybe I could just get up and try to do the thing that God is calling me to do and worry about the results, you know, let him worry about the results. I guess I'm advocating a return to actual Christianity as practiced for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, that included putting yourself in the hands of Jesus and letting him worry about the fallout.
So as Christians are considering this topic, you know, how, two questions for you. First of all, how do we handle issues that we do feel passionate about, that we, you know, the internet does give us a bigger voice than we had before. You know, not everybody could be a published author or a public speaker, but there are people who, you know, work in various different organizations or have different, you know, ministries that they feel passionate about, that they want people to know about. And so how do you know, first of all, when you're virtue signaling, and is it not a good thing to make people aware of it? And sometimes that could descend into, you know, very lively discourse online, depending upon, you know, what the topic is. So how do Christians navigate that?
I think you can ask yourself some questions. Like, I think Christians should talk about issues that are really, really important to them. But as you're talking about it, you can ask yourself, am I using myself as a good example in this case? Like, if we're talking about Me Too, and am I able to get online and just talk about this issue without involving my own self as an example of what other people should do or not do? In the old days, it was the mommy blogs that were filled up with guilting and shaming other mothers, you know? Like, look at me, I have such great kids and I'm doing such a great job. Here's what worked. It's under the guise of here's what worked for me, but then really what you're holding out is yourself. And that's, you know, that's really not helpful. So the first thing you can ask yourself as you're engaging in social media is, am I using myself as a good example? Did I have to let other people know what it was exactly that I did about Me Too or immigration or Black Lives Matter or whatever it was? Did I have to take a picture of myself at a rally on the right or the left? Or was I able to just go to the rally and maybe nobody even knew that I was there? I think if you answer that question one way or the other, you'll be able to kind of get down to the question of your own heart a little bit, which is where this problem resides. And then the second thing, I think, is if you find yourself really comparing yourself and your opinions to other people, then you're probably veering off course also. You know, does it really matter if you have the right opinion about whether Blue Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter? And then if you've decided that it does and you do have an opinion, did you get to that because you were comparing yourself to people you didn't like? who had an opposite opinion from you? Or did you come to that because you were really studying the scripture and you felt convicted by the Holy Spirit? I mean, a lot more self-examination as you head into the use of social media. Why do I need to do this right now? What are other people going to gain by my opinion? And you may come to the conclusion that, yeah, it's actually really important for me to speak up. And so I'm going to do that. And I may err. I might get it wrong, but then I'll repent of my sins and I'll trust God with the results. I think if Christians can do that more, try to de-escalate emotionally, to question your own moral sense rather than imputing moral judgments to what other people are saying or doing. I think that, you know, we can engage with social media and we can be more cheerful about it and actually be more helpful to people in their real lives.
You know, one thing that Anne mentioned in her article that I thought was a really good example of virtue signaling, that I guess, because we've been talking about some like larger, heavier topics in terms of, you know, cultural issues that people are speaking about now. But one of her examples was, you know, the person who tweets out, you know, it's Pastor Appreciation Month and I'm so thankful for my pastor. As a matter of fact, I sent him, you know, cards of encouragement this week or whatever, so that, you know, people knew. Well, first of all, you had to let people know, remind them that it was Pastor Appreciation Week, but there's nothing wrong with that, but also say that you definitely appreciated your pastor publicly in a tweet or something like that. So what can we do instead of, and some of this is just like you said, self-awareness. Maybe we're not self-aware that we're virtue signaling when we have told everyone this is, you know, I sent my pastor a card and, you know, helped them have a date night by watching their kids or something like that. What else can we do instead of virtue signaling?
Well, I would say that if you have to talk about yourself online and your own virtue, that you should always use yourself as a bad example. So like, instead of, if you want people to know that it's Pastor Appreciation Month, you could get on and say, well, shoot, I realize it's Pastor Appreciation Month and I totally forgot and I didn't do anything, but you know, maybe you'll do better than me. Or I guess you can draw awareness to certain things without fluffing yourself. Or, you know, that's one option. If you have to talk about something online, use yourself as a bad example. But secondly, you can try not to scold other people or call other people out for not getting it right like you did. But also, you know, you can just send people notes in the mail or email, or you can text people privately. You don't have to text someone and then let everybody know that you texted them. It's kind of, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, did it really fall? Well, yeah, it really did. If you text somebody and nobody knows but the person that you texted, it still counts. You know, Jesus promises to see everything that we do, which can be terrifying if you're not found in him. But if you are, he sees you. He knows you. He knows the good works that you've done in secret that glorify your Father in heaven. And so you can really work on maybe reclaiming the old virtue of private, hidden acts of mercy for other people, of lifting other people when they're down and then just not letting anyone know about it, giving money and then not, you know, not getting on and saying, look at my awesome charity that I just gave this money to charity and I really thought maybe you'd want to give money too. I mean, it's hard because Facebook offers easy opportunities to, you know, let other people know that you just gave money to an important nonprofit. Facebook asks you when you get on, well, what do you want to let people know today? Don't you want to let people know that you voted? Well, what if you voted and you didn't tell anyone? Do you think that God knew you voted? He does know that you voted. So you don't need Mark Zuckerberg to affirm you. You have God who lives inside of your body, mind, and spirit by the Holy Spirit. So try making light of your own virtue. Use yourself as a bad example. Praise other people online freely and clearly without making it reflect back on you one way or another, either negatively or positively. I think that Christians do have an immense opportunity to be seen in their use of social media to be very different than the world. calmer, not given to rage, not given to self-acclamation, and actually giving glory to God by just not talking about it quite so much.
I think that's helpful. You mentioned the old mommy blog days, and now people don't even have to be mommy bloggers because they have their own Twitter and Facebook and Instagram feeds where, you know, they can announce, well, like before and after pictures, look at this huge pile of 10 loads of laundry. Well, I got it all done in an hour. Awesome, or whatever. And, you know, in the past, though, like you said, it's not a new thing. If anyone's ever been to, for instance, a museum, they have a wall of donors, and I can see, I don't know who any of these people are, but Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so are in the $10,000 level, or their name was printed in the, you know, program at the symphony or something like that. So it's, I think you said, a really human need to be known that you've done something good or you care about something so that people can recognize that you did. So this has been a very provocative conversation. Well, now for something a lot lighter, I'm going to have some fun rapid fire questions for Anne that I'm going to call our Christmas edition. So Anne, what is your Christmas dinner main dish?
Well, in the past, we've roasted a goose when we can find one, but this year we were not able to find one, so we're going to have a really gorgeous big chunk of beef. We're going to do roast beef and Yorkshire pudding on Christmas Day.
Well, that sounds just like us. That's what we will be doing. And do you wrap gifts or do you use gift bags?
I generally try to wrap everything, and it takes me forever.
Sugar cookies or gingerbread cookies?
Oh, sugar cookies.
And do you have gas logs or real logs burning in your fireplace?
We have real logs. We have a really nice old fireplace, and we are almost at the end of our wood, so we need to go out and get another cord in so that we can survive the 41 inches of snow we had this week.
Yes, right now there's a huge storm in the Northeast. It's been dumping quite a lot of snow. So for your family, snow angels or building snowmen?
My little girls were out building snowmen. It was so deep that if you lay down in it to do an angel, you would like sink to the bottom and not get back up again. So it was definitely snowman weather this time.
And finally, Christmas movies for your family or Christmas music?
Actually, well, both, but mainly Christmas movies. We are going to watch The Hogfather tonight, which is our favorite Christmas movie.
I have not even heard about that, so I guess I'll go look that up after. Well, thanks, Anne, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Anne Kennedy, who has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called, Why Do I Call Myself Good? A Look at Virtue Signaling. You can find it under the Articles tab at our website, equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.